RNZ National, and in our occasional book club series, Auckland author and publisher Deborah Miller has lived in Point Chevalier long enough to be considered a local. It's pretty sedate these days, but it's had a colourful blue-collar history. Deborah began researching it and found all kinds of interesting things, and she's put it together in a book called The Point, A History of Point Chevalier and Its People. Hi, Deborah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming in. What a comprehensive book.
Yeah, well, it's much bigger than I had expected when I first started down the path of, you know, researching the history. But you're right, it's got a huge history and very rich and colourful and diverse as well.
My first question really should be, did I pronounce Point Chevalier correctly?
Well, you did in terms of how it's most commonly referred to these days, but the point was actually named after a soldier of French descent, George Chevalier, or quite possibly Chevalier would be the more correct pronunciation.
Yes.
He came here as a musketry instructor because there were actually rifle ranges set up on the point in the 1850s, 1860s to train militia for the New Zealand Wars. And supposedly he embarked on a challenge with another instructor. He won. The soldiers decamped to a hotel to celebrate and decided the point should be named after him.
All right.
Prior to that, it had been known as Point Bunbury and was named after Thomas Bunbury, who came here to assist Governor Hobson with gathering signatories for the Treaty of Waitangi. And he unfortunately, for him, didn't achieve his aim, which was to become governor himself after Hobson died, but he had the point named after him.
And in terms of the book itself, it's so beautifully done, and we must say with your own history from Penguin, Random House, it's so professionally done.
Well, I have worked in publishing for quite some years now, and I wanted it to be a beautiful book that people wanted to read. I'm not a historian. I'm not a trained researcher. I'm a journalist by background and a publisher. So it was important to me that the book was attractive and accessible for people, and it made people who might not think they're interested in history actually want to read about it.
Well, it does that, definitely. And we've had a lot of entries to win this book tonight, and we'll do the draw in a few minutes and someone can have this book on their coffee table. But a few questions first. And Point Chev was a state house area, wasn't it?
It was one of Auckland's first and largest state housing enclaves. It was a pretty working class suburb. Most of the development on the point happened in the interwar years. So there's a lot of bungalows from the 1920s and a little bit earlier. And it was there was quite a lot of land that was still empty in the 1930s. So it was identified by the Labor government as a good destination for state housing. And what's interesting is that a number of those state housing developments are actually being redeveloped for government housing now. So typically duplexes across a corner site didn't make very efficient use of land, but obviously endowed people with wonderfully large sections. A number of those are now being removed and replaced with more intensive developments that still include some gardens, but are not quite as lavish in terms of their land space as they used to be.
And for those outside of Auckland who may know the name Point Chev, Point Chevalier, can you give us the geographical location of it?
Yeah, well, it's quite a distinctive geographical area. It protrudes into the harbour, the Waitemata Harbour, in a near-perfect triangle. So if you actually look at a map of Auckland, it's very identifiable. And I think what's quite unique about the area is you always know when you're arriving and when you're leaving because it's a peninsula. So there's two roads in, basically. So you come in one way, you go out the other. Its nearest neighbour would be Westmere, which is a little bit west of Herne Bay. So it's regarded as an inner city suburb, I think, these days because of its proximity to the central city.
So you went to live there in 2012?
We did, and a little bit nervously, actually, because previously we'd lived in Grey Lynn, And the causeway that leads to Point Chevalier, Meola Road, feels like quite a long drive from the central suburbs. But but of course it's not. And now I love it and I can't imagine living anywhere else.
A long drive. Deborah, it's not that far. You could walk.
Well, indeed you could. Indeed you could. But when you've been used to living very centrally, it does feel like you're definitely leaving the central city behind and moving more to the suburbs.
And when I think about Point Chev, of course, I think about the families who live there. And to me, the big family of Point Chev is the Mills family, Les Mills.
Les Mills. Les Mills moved there in 1965. He'd actually been in America on a scholarship, a sports scholarship, when he moved to live there. But he had, prior to that, actually bought some land in Great North Road in the actual town centre. And he became a real mover and shaker in terms of development of the town centre during the 1950s. He had a home appliance store there. His wife Colleen had a shoe shop. They went on to launch more shops in other suburbs, but that was where they started. And Les actually developed the first self-help supermarket in Point Chevalier, which is still the site of the Countdown supermarket today.
Is that right? Yeah. Gee, and he's provided you with photos for your book?
He has. He has actually opened up his photo albums, and there's some photos of him in his appliance shop. He was a big man then, obviously, because he was competing in discus and shot put, and also some beautiful photos of his late wife Colleen as a child, who grew up in a state house. I was looking for something of a state house family, and he supplied.
In that area?
In that area, yeah. She actually grew up in a street called Kanuka Street, which has a number of state houses in it, and is part of an area known as the Pasadena Subdivision, which was developed even earlier than that in the 1920s. It was one of, Auckland's and probably New Zealand's very first garden suburbs, as they were known, developed by laid out by one of the first town planners who was registered in New Zealand. And it's distinctive for its curvilinear streets. So rather than straight roads, they curve more, which was intended to develop more of a sense of community in neighbourhoods, and with little parks that children could safely access. It's a really delightful area.
And of course, you can't not think about the beach at Point Chev. It's such a huge part of the suburb. It's a beautiful beach.
It's a lovely beach, and I think because it's so close to central Auckland, it's very popular and well utilised. And it always has been so. There's photographs and accounts from the 1880s of people picnicking under the pohutukawa trees that still line the beach today. It was probably most popular as a suburb, as a pleasure ground, if you like, somewhere to escape to on the weekends, to take the waters, the fresh air. The beach, of course, is oriented to the west, so it gets the sun right to sundown, which continues to make it a very popular place for people to picnic at. It's very tidal, so and quite shallow, but the appeal of that, of course, is that it's very safe for swimming.
Great for swimming, great for, you can walk dogs at certain times, you know, after the crowds have gone and
absolutely,
in the winter, of course, which is good. So why did you think of Point Chev? Simply because you moved there, or had you always had a fascination with doing a book about a suburb?
No, I hadn't. It really just evolved. So we built a house, the second house in Point Chevalier. My husband's an architect, so that's kind of the lot of an architect's family. We built a house opposite one of the oldest churches and actually oriented our front door directly on the church. It's a lovely shingle-roofed church, white weatherboard with beautiful stained glass windows. That church came onto the market as part of a larger property owned by the Anglican Diocese in 2017, and we were desperately worried we were going to lose our lovely church, that potentially the property would be so valuable there'd be a way to develop it. Fortunately, it was bought by a local family who have kept the church. It's been deconsecrated, but it's still available for use for weddings and special services.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that really piqued my interest in knowing a little bit more about the history of that church. And that just led, one thing led to another. A little further down the street from us is a sports ground that has been in existence since the 1920s. It's known as the Halliburton Johnston Sports Ground. Halliburton was a name that I recognised but couldn't place, and it's immortalised in a women's cricketing shield that's competed for still every year. And it turns out that that sports ground was gifted to the community in 1927 by a chap called Halliburton Johnston, and is subject to a trust deed that means that it must always stay available for use by the community. It houses bowls, croquet and tennis, 4.5 acres, so an incredibly valuable site, but can never be developed.
And you've also started your own publishing company. Is this your first book or second?
This is the first book I've written.
Yes.
And published through my publishing company. I do some other publishing for other authors as well.
That keep you busy.
It's given me a whole new appreciation for authors, actually, writing a book myself.
That's good to know. Right. And so who do you expect would find this book most fascinating? Not just people who live in the area, of course.
No, but I think what's incredible is a lot of Aucklanders have connections. In fact, New Zealanders have connections to Point Chevalier because of the beach, because it's been a very active sporting area. There's still two sports clubs that are actually celebrating centenaries this year. It has a very active athletics club. It's been a real hive of community activity, I think. So a lot of people are connected to the area, either directly or through their parents or grandparents. It was a holiday destination for many years, so a number of people would have holidayed possibly at the beach flats that are still in existence right on the beach. So I think it's going to appeal to a lot of people who have connections to the area.
And available everywhere?
It is available in bookshops everywhere, yes.
It's The Point, A History of Point Chevalier, or Chevalier, perhaps, and it's People by Deborah Miller.